What a great day it'll be when we just forever stand there lifting the Lord's name up high. Sometimes we find it quite limiting when we say, let's give thanks to God. And after a couple of minutes, we run out of phrases and terminology. And we run out of words that we can actually express how awesome He is. And there's a verse in the Old English that says, if I had 1,000 tongues, I still couldn't express, how good God is. And yet it's so amazing. And we'll spend forever creating words to express. But the great thing is that sometimes in intimacy, the words stop. But the intimacy doesn't. It goes beyond words. It goes beyond something that you can speak out into something else. Joshua in the Bible, in Joshua chapter 6, he had a situation where you'll probably know the story. Joshua's taken over from Moses, great man of God, great leader. And Joshua's been risen up, he's been raised up to actually go out and do something for God, to take on the next generation to the promised land. If you remember that the first generation missed out on all the promises of God, not because God wasn't willing, but they didn't believe. I mean, it always makes me smile when you think that God says, right, go possess the land. There's a cloud going on, there's a fire going on, there's earthquakes, there's all sorts of plagues in Egypt. Egypt was basically the United States of America in those days. And God had just annihilated them, set the people free, out they came, and they've gone through the Red Sea, they've gone to the mountain of God, they've seen God in all His awesomeness, and they've had the law delivered to them. Things are going amazing, bread's coming down, manna, and then there's a quail turning up. And with all this stuff going on, God said, right, go. Get in there. So they send 12 people in. 10 come back with a truthful report. They weren't lying, but they gave an evil report. Because it wasn't just the truth. It was what was behind their motive. See, some people speak the truth or what they're saying is correct, but it's not always truthful. And two of them gave an honest and truthful report. Yes, there are giants in the land, but we can overcome them. Yeah. You see, the 10 was looking at the problems through their eyes. How are we going to take on the giants? And two of them, Caleb and Joshua, looked at the giants and went, God, how are you going to deal with these guys? How are you going to sort these out? So years later, 38 years later, Joshua's still there. His generation is gone. We often say only two people came out of Egypt that went into the promised land. It's not technically true, because everybody under the age of 20 that came out of Egypt went into the promised land, because it was those 20 and above that died in the wilderness. So everybody there, what was going into the promised land, was under 60, except for Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb were going for it, 80, and he's off for it. But Joshua's here, he comes across, God opens up the River Jordan, they walk across, and there's Jericho. And God gives Joshua a plan of action. I mean, this is so bizarre. March around it 6 days, once, and then on the seventh day, go around it 7 times, and then see what I do. Actually, God violated one of the 10 commandments on that day, because they were working for 7 days. Just an interesting thought. When God's doing things, God's doing things. And we know the story, they walk around there, and they walk around. But it's interesting that God says, tell the people to be quiet. So Joshua said, be quiet. Why did he say, be quiet? Don't speak. Because it doesn't take long before the leaders say, we're going to do this. And everybody goes along with it quite enthusiastic for so long. and then it doesn't quite happen the way they thought, then the big question comes. And not does a question come in their mind, when they speak out the question, it starts adding fuel to other people's questions. And before long, it had been a case of, Joshua, what do you think you're doing? This is a stupid idea. So Joshua says, keep your mouth shut, keep it quiet, don't say a word, don't retaliate, don't say anything, just see what God's going to do. You can read all this in Joshua 6. And at the end of it all, they marched round. It says the walls came down. Now, some actually believe they came down, they fell in woods. But when you read the Hebrew, it almost implies that the walls came down, straight down into the ground. And that is what they have found. Archaeologists have found a city, which was Jericho, the old city, which the walls are still standing, but they're buried. So it almost seems the walls came down. Except for Rahab's house, which was in the wall, that was left standing. It was there. I don't know how she got out, steps down, or whatever. But it's interesting. She was a believer, and she said this to the two spies. We heard what God did when he opened up the sea for you, and we've been trembling ever since. We've been waiting for you to come. Sometimes we're scared of what God, of what the enemy's doing, and yet the enemy knows you're coming, and he's scared. But we don't see he's scared. We just see him. And yet, when God opened up the Red Sea, it wasn't just to take the people through. It was to kill the Egyptians, but it was to make a statement that I'm going to go with you into that promised land. And I'm going to fight for you. And all the people... See, another question I've often asked, if I were living in the land of Canaan and I heard of a tribe, a nation that God had given this land to through promises, because we all knew what was going on, promises of God were given, and suddenly that group of people have come out of Egypt... And there's a cloud of fire with them, and a pillar of a cloud with them, and a pillar of fire with them. And then their God opened up the Red Sea so they could walk through and wiped out the Egyptians. I'd have packed my stuff and I'd gone. You know, I'm not being funny, but if there's an invading army coming and their God's fighting for them, you think, I'm out of here. But Joshua learned, and I'm just going to do some bullet points because I really haven't got time to run into some stuff. And I might actually look at this another time. But Joshua learned to trust God's promises. He says this in verse 2 of chapter 6. He says, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and its mighty men. I have given the city into your hands. He'd given it, and Joshua believed him. It's amazing how many promises we have in God, how many promises God speaks into our lives, and yet we still question them. As if God's a liar. If I say I'm going to do something for you, and you can question that if I've got a track record, but if I've got a track record of always doing what I say I'm going to do, always fulfilling my promises, and I say I'll do this for you, I promise I'll do it for you, and you go, how do I know? That would offend me. Even, you know, but if my track record shows that I never do my promise, and you said, how will I know? Fair enough. But God's got a track record of always doing what he says he's going to do. The problem is that God says, I'm going to do this, and then we expect God to do it tomorrow and next week maybe, but sometimes God says, I'm going to do it soon. And how many know that soon to God is not soon to us? Soon to us is next week. Soon to God it could be 5 years. In fact, sometimes it might be generationally. But if God spoke to you specifically about a situation that you can stand and you can take that to a bank. See, an interesting thing, if Jesus stood here, came here in physical form tonight, and you're sick, and he says, tonight, you're going to be healed, would you be happy about it? Yeah. Or would you say, I'm not sure? Would you be ready? Or would you be going, I'm not quite sure? Because his words are powerful. You'd be happy before it even, you won't be going, oh, I'm not sure if I'm healed or not. If Jesus said, I'm going to be ill tonight, I'm there. And yet his word is his word. Yet we question his word. Just a thought. See, Joshua took God at his word. And when he said, see, I've given this Jericho into your hands, its king and its mighty men, Joshua believed him. And he went for him. There's several verses I can unpack there for you, but let's just jump on. Joshua understood a truth that God, in his very nature, his essence of God is truth. God doesn't lie. If God came here tonight and said it's dark, it would be dark. Because when he speaks, it happens. So he actually can't lie. You know? Because when he speaks, it happens. But Joshua knew that that God's nature, his essence, was truth. He also knew Joshua looked for proof of his word by looking backwards. There's different verses I could look at that. But Joshua had seen God release them from Egypt, set them free. Guys, you've been set free from the kingdom of darkness. You've been baptized. You've gone through the sense of the sea. You've been baptized. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got more going on inside of you. And you need sometimes to look to the past and say, I accept God's word. God's nature is truth. And his past record is fantastic. But Joshua learned something else. He learned to trust God's plan. Not only did he actually trust God's promises, he trusted God's plan. And God's plan might have been confusing, but he trusted him. See, our plan to get somewhere is A, B, C, D, let's get there. But God's plan might be, yes, you're going to end up there, but you're going to zigzag a little bit. And then when you mess up, God don't go, okay, we're not doing that. He'll say, that's fine. Let's take you back to the beginning and start again. And after a while, you get so sick of going back to the beginning, you just grit your teeth and go through it. You just keep on going. But Joshua understood God's plan. He understood that God's plan was the best. I've got to think where I'm up on these. I'm skipping through some stuff. His plan, God's plan, was always to our advantage. You know that? God's plan for you is to your advantage. Years ago, I used to get taught, or there was a teaching going around, if God ever told you to go somewhere you wanted to go, it's not of God. We're always going to go to that dark hole somewhere. Never know where that dark hole was. But if God said, I'm going to send you to the Bahamas and you're going to plant a church near the sea where it's warm, the sun is warm, everything's perfect, it's paradise, they'd say that's not of God. But if you're going to go live in a slum somewhere and you're going to eat maggots for the rest of your life, that's of God. But actually, God's plan for you is a good plan. It's a great plan. It's to your advantage. And God's plan is never designed to exalt us. It's always designed to exalt him. Yeah. So that's the second thing. Joshua also learned not only to trust God's promises and to rely on God's plan, but he also learned to trust God's power. He'd just seen him open the river. I mean, sometimes you can forget what God's done, can't you? Or it's a bit hazy in the distance. I mean, he opened the Red Sea, but that's 40 years ago. I can't, you know, my mind may be ticking on a little bit. But only a week ago, he opened the river. That's pretty good going. So these walls are not a problem. How many of us know that if we're in a financial situation where we need God to come through and we pray about it, and God meets that need, if a month later we find ourselves in another financial situation, we're probably going to believe a bit more. Well, he's just done it, hasn't he? You don't look convinced, some of you. So we need to get into some financial situations, then you can pray for some miracles. No, you need to just trust in God. So Joshua learned to trust in God's power. He knew there were no limit on God. Joshua knew there were no limitations on God. I mean, if God can feed 1 million+ people in the wilderness, that's pretty good going. If he can open rocks just to feed them, just to water him, that's pretty good going. He could trust in his power. But not only that, he knew his power. He knew God personally as a God of power. Not just a God up there, a God of power. Lots of verses on that one as well. And the fourth one, I will go through this another time with you all. You know, normally, give it 2 weeks, you forget the sermon from before. So I'll have to give it a couple of weeks, we'll go through it. It's a good sermon, is this one. Joshua had to learn to trust God's provision. Interesting now, because the manna was on the other side of the river. The quail were on the other side of the river. The cloud and the pillar of fire was on the other side of the river. And God says, go in there, possess the land. In other words, I'm not going to drop food from heaven. Now you're going to have to grow food and trust in me on an ongoing basis. And as Christians, sometimes we want God to drop food from heaven. And God's going, no, I'm going to give you the ability to get food. I'm going to give you the ability to do something. You see, we would all rather sit at home and God just drop it in our lap, but God don't want to do that. When you need money, God's not going to drop it from heaven. He's not a counterfeiter. And if nobody else is listening, he might give you a job. He might give you provision to do something. It's unlikely you're going to go into a field and find some gold coins if you're praying about that. But it isn't unheard of. You know what I mean? But what he might do, he might bless you from somebody else. But there comes a point where God wants you to be able to be self-sufficient and trusting in God. But Joshua learned to trust God's provision. He also learned to obedience comes before provision. Doing what God tells you to do opens up a door for God to bless you with the provisions. Obedience is essential for walking in things of God. And he also knew that God knows how to finish the job. We all have sometimes, this is a real funny one, we always have great visions of what to do, or hopefully we should have, or maybe we have little visions. But we often have a vision of what will be, but when we get what will be, then we need a vision to how to end that job, because sometimes God's going to move us on to another promise. Sometimes we get what God's promised, and it's like, now what? Well, we need to fasten it all down, finish the job off, and move on to the next thing. And grow and move on. You see, God does things in seasons. Things take, you know, if you're in a gardening situation, you plant one year and you reap the next year, in a sense, or next season. Things happen time-wise. In God, we want them to happen now. And God wants to plant seed in our hearts. But then when that seed has borne fruit, then we need to plant the fruit, the seed from the fruit. God will always look after us. He will always be there. So in our own lives, we need to consider the idea of trusting in God, trusting in his promises. When God's promised us stuff, trusting in God's promises for our lives. God is a good God, with some like this morning. He's a great God, and he's got the best in mind for us. So we need to trust in God's promises. We also need to trust God's plan. Any good parent usually has a plan for their kids. They might not always agree with it initially. They kick off, scream. You know, it's like if you've ever had babies, you're trying to get them into in a feeding routine, and the baby doesn't always want it. A sleeping routine, they don't always want it. But you've got to make sure it fits. They don't want to go to school sometimes. They don't want to brush their teeth. But you've got to. It really annoys me when I've heard recently of kids having all the teeth at the age of 4 and 5 because the parents say, well, it's not up to me to make them brush their teeth. Well, it is. You know what I mean? It is. It's our job to discipline our children, to bring them up in the ways of God. But we've got to trust God's plan for our life. And sometimes we don't want to brush his teeth. And God's like going, you're going to do it. You know, you're going to do what I tell you. You've got to grow. So we've got to trust God's plan for our life. We've got to understand and trust in God's power. I mean, I think if God can save me, he can save anybody. And looking at some of you, if he can save you, he can save anybody. Because no, we've all been there. No matter how good or bad our past is, the truth is we were all in the mire, the gutter, whatever. Whether we're a drug addict, an alcoholic, or we were a pretty good person, but unsaved, we were all in a mess. And God pulled us out of that mess, stood us on our feet, washed us down, cleaned us up. And if he can do that, he can do anything. And then when we've trusted in all that, then we can trust in God's provision that he'll always look after us and provide for us. He's got a great plan for every one of our lives. Amen. Amen. He didn't have a great plan for England, some might say, but I don't care. France are probably celebrating now. For those who are watching on the internet, that will be totally out of date come tomorrow. You know? Let me pray for you guys.